This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
I spoke about three different aspects of defeating discouragement, three keys to overcoming discouragement. The first one was to maintain a Godward mindset, Having a Godward mindset simply means focusing your mind toward God. David was awesome at this. And the enemy, on the other hand, wants you to focus on everything that's negative around you. He wants you to be so bowed down with darkness and oppression and the issues of life that you don't see Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then David began to see God in everything. See, You need to look for God in the middle of your trial. You need to look for God in the middle of your circumstance. If you just look at the circumstances, your view cannot be just earthward. It has to be heavenward. It has to be towards Him. Say, towards Jesus. How many of you know that you can't heal a gnat's wing? How many of you know you can't save yourself? How many of you know no matter how good you are, you can't be good enough? How many of you know that's why we need the blood of Jesus? So why do we expect to do it all by ourselves? But you say, well, I don't. But then we act sometimes as if we're the Lone Ranger, though. And we're looking at how am I going to fix this? But we need to look Godward. Say, Godward. When David was surrounded by things that would take his attention from God, how he moved his attention back towards God was through worship. He worshiped the Lord. He says, I will put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven, as the Bible says in Isaiah. And David exemplified that. David literally praised God in everything. That's how he learned how to fight. That's how he learned how to move in the presence of God. That's how the anointing, the power of God came upon him to be able to slay lions and to slay bears and eventually giants. Somebody say amen. He learned it through worship. He learned it through praise. He learned it through looking heavenward, looking beyond himself, and looking towards God. David's Godward mindset allowed him to not look at the circumstances. He didn't look at the giant. He looked at the God who could destroy the giant. He was more infatuated with God than he was any problem he faced. You need to hear that. My constant desire and need is to not be so sidetracked, okay, and to be what I would call preoccupied with what's in my life and around my life and to the ignoring of God. See, we become too distracted in life. I need to be infatuated with Him. Amen. Well, you know what? You're just too spiritual. Okay, well, you go right on. How's that working out for you? Can I be really lovingly honest with you? I'm believing that when you come to the house of God, you're not just coming to visit 1 hour a week and then you put God away. That's not relationship. That's just doing your duty. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't get to heaven, but you know what? You're not going to get to heaven with as many victories as you would have had otherwise. And I'm not sure your family is going to benefit all the ways they could benefit if you're not infatuated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us are more infatuated with things and other issues. Golf, I love golf. I play golf. I don't play it very well, but I love golf. I used to like the Giants. Now I'm not sure. You know, I used to be a 49er fan, but then all my guys either died or retired. See, what are you saying? And I used to think, well, I want this in life. I want that in life. You know what? The older I get, there's only one thing that matters, and that's Jesus. And if you're not there yet, you should be. And if you're not there yet, you will be. Okay? Because there is nothing like Jesus. There's nothing but Jesus. You see, well, we say, just Jesus? No, Jesus in everything. It's not secular and spiritual. It's all spiritual. Amen. There's not a secular life. There's a secular way of living. But I don't separate my life anymore, secular and spiritual. If Jesus isn't the foundation under all of it, I just don't do it. Or I do everything God wants me to do, and I do everything I've ever wanted to do in the kingdom, and I'm enjoying life, but He is the foundation of it. I think that's where we need to head. And in Jesus' name, you become more than just an hour and a half Christian once a week. Some of you, it's down to once a month. I'm not criticizing you. You can serve God any way you want to. I'm just hoping that the way you're serving God is fully representative of what he has planned for you. How many of you want all the benefits? Let me see your hands. And I'm preaching to the choir today. I understand that. And so, a Gabra mindset is huge. And then the second thing we talked about is realistic expectations. The second key to overcoming discouragement is having realistic expectations. David was anointed king, I told you 2 weeks ago, but it didn't mean he wasn't going to have any problems. Problems are coming, okay? How did David overcome those problems? And how did David deal with the issues of life? He was anointed king and thought, well, I'm just going to set up my kingship in Jerusalem and everybody's going to come and bow before me. You know, that was not the process. The process was Saul was still king, even though David was anointed to be king. When you're anointed, you're appointed. I'm anointed to preach, but I'm appointed pastor here. If I go across the state and I want to pastor over there, my anointing will go with me, but my appointment may not. Okay, so David was anointed king and he was appointed to be king, but he had to wait for that process before the Lord said, now is the time. How many of you know there's the will of God and then there's the timing of God? And in the process, he says, well, I'm anointed king. Finally, I made it. No, when you're anointed and you're appointed, you're going to go through some stuff when the Sauls of your life are trying to do you in. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And the Lord had made a plan for David. But it was going to be a fight. You're going to have some battles in this life. But the good news, you're going to fight, but you're going to win. I said, I'm going to fight, but I'm going to win. It may not look like I'm winning, but you just need to understand something. It may look dark in my life right now, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. And what God anointed David to do, he also appointed him to do. What God has anointed and ordained for you to do, he has an appointment for you, and you're going to get there. But while you're getting there, and after you get there, the devil is not going to go home and leave you alone. But the good news is that you're going to fight. But you're not going to fight in your own strength. You're going to fight in the strength of the Lord. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the anointed of the Lord God Most High? When he said that, he was talking about the biggest threat that Israel had ever known. And he wasn't afraid. You know how you cannot be afraid? When you know in whom you have believed. And then persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. And when the day comes when you need to go and face your giant, you're not going to go with 5 stones. You're going to go with 5 stones that have got angel power on them. Somebody say amen. I come in the power of the Lord God, of the captain of the Lord of hosts. Then on that day, you'll be glad you were infatuated with him. The good news is he's not mad at you if you haven't talked to him in a day or two or a week. Are you listening? He's enthralled with you. I said he's infatuated with you. Are you listening? I need to say this right now. It's a true story of a man who was flying a relatively small plane. He heard some noise in the back. There's about 6 or 8 people on the plane. So there's 2 pilots, a pilot and a co-pilot. So the pilot gets up and he turns it over to the co-pilot and he goes to the back of the plane. There's a noise and it's unusual sound. You know, a pilot knows when something's not right. He went back there, and as surely as he got back there, he realized there was something wrong, and he went to touch it and the door flew open and he went out. And so the co-pilot, the wind, everybody was strapped in. The co-pilot finally, mayday, 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 and he landed that plane. And when he got out of the plane, and when the ambulances came, the pilot that had fallen out had somehow, by the miraculous power of God, held on to the handle that was around the door. He just caught it, just like, you know, you'd see Tom Cruise do. But it really happened. And somehow, bucking 200-mile-an-hour wind, landing that plane, you know, with the force that it creates, he held on. This is a true story. I'm making it up. He held on. And when they got to him, they could not pry. It took them 10 or 15 minutes to pry his hands away from that bar that was attached to the plane. Why did you tell that story? Because sometimes you think it's hard to hold on to God. But I'm telling you, He's holding on to you. He's holding on to you, and you couldn't pry His hands off of you. And so when you think you're not good enough, when you think you haven't prayed enough, when you think He's tired of you, when you think He don't like you anymore, when you think about that, you need to think about Father's Son. He didn't send His Son so that you could make two mistakes and the blood ain't good enough. He's holding on to you, and you can't pry His hands off your heart. Somebody, Lord, give praise and glory. Can somebody praise God here this morning? Because your Father holds on to you. Hallelujah. No wonder when I think about the Lord and what He's done for me, how He saved me and how He made me, how He's ministered to me. Oh, no wonder I get infatuated with Jesus. So, we need to understand, you are realistic in your expectations, but you're always looking Godward. Because every enemy that comes against you, my God has a hold of me. He saw it coming. And He says, I made you, I created you, and I can protect you. Because you're not in this by yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, we're not alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third thing is faith in God's grace. In order to overcome discouragement, defeating discouragement, you've got to have faith in His grace. Say, favor. It's not always merited. Favor is what I get, not because of what I do or what I don't do. It's because of who I am and who I know. Hallelujah. You remember me telling the story of the dirty diaper? Anybody? About Braylon? That was a bad one. The Lord can smell that a mile off, but He still pulls you up into His lap. He don't turn you away. Are you listening to me? That little guy, he did a job. He did a number. He did a good job. He got his money's worth. I said, Papa, it's bad. We were at McDonald's. I ended up out in the seat of my brand new truck. It was never the same again. I had to change that diaper. My Aria and Avon, they didn't want any part of it. No, Papa, no, Papa, no, Papa. But I learned something. When I got through and I changed that kid's diaper, when he took my hand, he held on a little tighter. Because he knew if my Papa changed my diaper, he'd do anything for me. The Lord loves you even when you're dirty. And you're always welcome in His lap. Hallelujah. And if you fall asleep during your prayer time, it's okay, because I've never gotten mad at none of my kids when they fell asleep in my arms. When you're praying, you're in His arms. Turn to the person next to you and say, His love trumps everything. Hallelujah. So we depend on His grace to overcome discouragement. We've got to have faith in God's grace. What qualified David to become the king of Israel? From the outside, the answer is simple. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He wasn't attractive. His daddy didn't even call him into the swearing-in ceremony. They were going to anoint a king, one of his seven brothers. He was number eight, numeral ocho. Wheat in France. France. On to a talk at sink, sweet set, wheat. Wheat. Yeah, wheat. Hallelujah. I'm trilingual. I'm quadringual. I speak French, Spanish, English, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Spirit. Nothing qualified David to be king. He was only a boy, too young, too small, untrained, and unsophisticated. by natural means, but because of the relationship, say it's a relationship, that he had with his father, he was very well trained. He did not have a background in government or finance. There was nothing that qualified him except that God chose him. God chose you. God chose you to be the father and the husband. God chose you to be the wife and the mother. God chose you to be the teacher and the doctor and the plumber and the carpenter and the contractor and the dental assistant and whatever it is, the retail clerk, whatever it is, he chose you. But you're more than just what you do in the workplace. You're who you are wherever you go and whatever you do. You may say, yeah, but David, he had a heart after God. That's true, he did. But he also had sin in his life. I'm talking about faith in God's grace in order to overcome discouragement. He had problems with lust. He had problems with pride. He had problems with violence. Any one of those could have disqualified him. Only the grace of God qualified him in times of difficulty. The devil always tries to convince us that God doesn't love us, and because of this, we will surely fail. We must remember that it is only by God's grace that we can do anything. The enemy plays many different roles. He's condemner. He's tempter. He's comparer. He is the one who always wants you to feel less, to feel less than, to feel done in, to feel unworthy of. Satan wants us to believe that we're defective. He wants us to think that God cannot use us and does not love us. This is where the enemy uses regret over things that we've done in the past or haven't done in the past. One of the most powerful weapons he has to try us is to trap us in the past. I have news for you. Your past is over. People may not forgive you, and God will help you to repair those relationships. But God not only forgave you, he doesn't remember it anymore. Hallelujah for that. I said hallelujah for that. I said hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. Go tell my disciples and especially tell Peter. Peter thought, I'm done. He don't even want nothing to do with me. He says, go tell my disciples and tell Peter especially. Glory to God. I don't care where Peter was in the hierarchy in his own mind then when he says, and tell Peter especially. Hallelujah. What do you think that did for Peter? Go tell my disciples and Terry. Terry, I haven't forgotten you. Well, Lord, he says, no. No, you've got a place. I prepared it before you were born. Now you get over here. You're part of this house. You're part of this family. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. Oh, yeah, I know what you did. I knew what you did before you did it. See, that's hard for us to fathom, isn't it? You don't understand God's love then. God's love trumps everything. I said, God's love, you can open up your heart. You know what overcomes fear? Love. You know what overcomes sin? Love. You know what overcomes regret? Love. It's the love of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Satan tries to get us to reject God's plan for our lives and to trade our destinies for lower purposes, things of the flesh. He says, why don't you just give up and go home? He's a liar. He's a comparer. Those are there are two kinds of comparison. That which is good, God's version. In other words, follow Jesus' example, follow the prophets, follow others' example that are godly. But then here's Satan's version. He looks at the unchangeable aspects of your life, such as your physical attributes, and say, you're never going to amount to anything. Or your giftings. How can you ever do anything? You know, most of the mighty men and women of God had some of the most negative physical attributes you could ever imagine, including Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was uncomely. And if you saw him on the street, you would have said, oh, not him. I know people that say, I could never serve God. Look at me. I'm tall. I'm short. I'm whatever. And, you know, or I'm not smart enough. Many of the people that are mightily known today in the Christian realm, they couldn't even speak. They stuttered. They came from backgrounds where they literally were recluses. But the Lord, hallelujah, just like he told the prophet Isaiah, he says, just let me touch your tongue with my power. I don't care where you are. The devil will try to compare you to what the devil's image of you is. I have news for you. He didn't create you. He didn't make you. He has no right to condemn you. He has no right to compare you. Your Father is the one who has the plan of God for your life. God never made any trash. Compare? The enemy wants you to compare your life status with that of other people and see how you measure up. That is so foolish. It's deceptive. It will discourage you quicker than anything. I used to think if I had a church of 600 people, I'd just die and go to heaven because I've made it. Are you listening? Isn't that true, honey? We thought, we used to sit and dream. Honey, I said, baby, I believe we can. We went and planted a prayer thing up on Prayer Mountain. You did, didn't you? Remember that? You want to tell them about it? I'm sure you don't. Go ahead.
We had an opportunity. I went to Tommy Barnett's church, and all of the ministers and leadership were going there. And so Pastor Barnett took us up on his mountain, which he called Prayer Mountain, and said that we could plant a request that we had for the future for our ministry. And so I called Pastor Terry, and I said, well, what do you want me to say? And I said, should I say a church of 300 or what? He says, you put 500 on there. So I put 500 and planted it, and God's just blown us away what he's done.
It seemed like it was impossible. Seemed like it was impossible. But now, what are you saying that for? Because honestly, when we got to 500, we thought, well, we should be running 1,000. Well, yeah, because so-and-so is running 1,000. And, you know, I don't want to be a lack of. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get to 2,000, there'll be somebody running 30,000. You cannot compare yourselves amongst yourselves. The Bible says if you do, you're unwise. I want you to understand something. The devil's business is to get you to compare your life to another life, to another life, to another life. It is wrong. It's not scriptural. You are beautifully and wonderfully and skillfully made, and the Lord never made any trash, and he's got a plan for your life. I don't need to be looking to the left or to the right or who's around me. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. I need to surrender to him. And if I've got one person to minister to, I'm born for that purpose. Lift your hands and praise him and say, Father, I thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't need to compare myself to anybody because it always brings discouragement, Lord. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Grace is all about God and his goodness. And I'm closing. Performance is all about us. Grace is about God and his goodness. Performance is about you or me. Are you listening? How qualified we are and how well we are doing. If I do enough good, then I deserve good. If I do something bad, then I deserve bad. Wrong. And all you have to do is just love God, hear God, and respond to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything I have from God is a gift. I didn't deserve it. The only thing that I can do is praise him and obey him. When everything in your life seems to be falling apart, the devil will always try to make it about you. Look what you've done. Look how you failed. Why didn't you do more? He'll whisper, you're not doing enough. Failure. You failed so many times. You're defective. God could never use you. He did, but he won't again. How can you defeat the devil when he comes against you with condemnation and accusations? You declare these words. I do not have to qualify. He already qualified me. My name is Terry Dale Green, Son of God. I am a part of his forever family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Terry. Does that sound arrogant? It's not arrogant. How many of you would call your little boy or your little girl arrogant if they said, I'm a part of and they named your family? Would you feel like he was arrogant? You'd say, I bore him. That's the way your father feels about you. Holy, holy, holy. The blood of Jesus qualifies you. The blood of Jesus qualifies me, and I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You will not make this about me, foul spirit. I know I'm weak. I know I do not know enough. I know I am inexperienced, but I serve a gracious God, and my God of mercy will come and help me. It does not matter if you have made mistakes in your marriage, errors in your finances, or poor decisions in your life. Your God of mercy will come to meet you in the midst of your discouragement. One drop of his blood. One drop of Jesus' blood, Jerome, is enough to erase everything you've ever done wrong. Everything you've not done that you should have done. The spirit of heaviness goes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I didn't have time to get into it, but if I had have, I would have said this. I would have taken you to the scripture. Lift up your head. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory is coming in. But you, O Lord, are a shield all around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Hallelujah. God is your glory and the lifter of your head. You know what glory means? It means favor. And some translations say heavy favor. There's two things. David in chapter 40 of the Psalm said, Lord, I feel so full of shame. I feel so surrounded. I feel so bowed down while Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him. He knew he was anointed. He knew he'd been appointed. But it seemed that everything was dark. And he said, Lord, I'm so full of my mistakes and so full of the attack. I can't lift my head. I can't lift my head. You know how you lift your head? It was you praise God. You look towards God. You look Godward. And then Psalms 3:3 says, he says, wait a minute, David. I'm the lifter of your head. When you can't lift up your head to see God, God says, I will come. Bow your head. I will come and lift your head towards me. I'll keep you looking upward, because if you can see my Father, you can see his glory. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit comes and says, just keep looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know I created you before you were in your mama's womb. You're the tattoo on my hand. You're the apple of my eye. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you to condemn you and judge you, I have condemned. And you are my servant. And this is your inheritance. And your righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up right now. He wants to lift up your heart. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your head. Lord, lift up my head. Lord, lift up my head. When everything is going down, you can just say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I refuse to be discouraged. You're the lifter of my head. Fear, guilt, condemnation are lost in your love, Lord. Love casts out fear. Love destroys condemnation. Love destroys inadequacy. Love destroys sickness and disease. Love, faith works by love. Hallelujah. Because he loved you, nobody can condemn you. Nobody can put you down. Nobody can shortchange you. Nobody can say you're not worthy. Nobody can say you're not good enough. Nobody can say you're not going to fulfill your destiny. No, 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 a thousand times no. When I think about what he's done, what he's, how he made me, how he saved me, the Lord has only begun to work, and I am not finished. I have only begun to fight, says the Lord. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. There have been times I've fought with go to sleep at night. I've fought believing for my children. I've fought believing for my job. I've fought believing for my healing. I've fought. I don't care how much I fight. I'm never going to quit. Somebody say amen. I'm not going to quit because my God got a hold of me. And he's never going to let me go. Hallelujah. Come here, honey. Come here, baby, quick. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. I'm just going to do it. Turn around. We're back to back. We've been to PTA meetings. We've been to hospital rooms. We've been to morgue. I've been to funeral homes. I've been to preaching to hundreds and thousands. I've been around the world. I've been to the principal's office. I've been to the doctor. We've been to the doctor's office. We've been to the bank where they said no. We've been to the bank where they said yes. But I got news for you. Through it all, we've had our heads lifted up towards God, and we will not quit because my Father has his hands in our hands. I'm telling you, you can't afford to be discouraged because he never gives up on you. Holy, lift your hands one more time. Father, we yield our hearts to you. We yield our hearts to you. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're lifting up my thoughts. You're lifting up my heart. You're lifting up my soul. You're lifting up my mind, my emotions. You're lifting up my body. You're lifting up me to favor. Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody want to be lifted up today? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sam Salgado's still here. You know why? Because he got a revelation that his Father loves him. I said he got a revelation that his Father loves him. And he'll never quit. Hallelujah. You know why he's still here? You know why he does more than most men today? He shouldn't be doing it, but he is. You know why? Because God is bigger than his problems. God is bigger than his defeat. God is bigger than anything that's facing him. Is everything just right in his life? No. But he has a God who says, I'll never give up on the dream. I challenge you today. This old preacher says, don't give up your dream. God has a plan for you. Don't you dare tell my kids that I preach like this. Hallelujah. It's a little late if that thing's on. Hallelujah. This is how I really feel. This is how God really feels about you. I see things you don't see. I see people coming in to your life filled with hurt and pain, but because they touch the God in you, that anointing transfers to them. You don't have to be a preacher. You just got to love them. I said, you just got to love them. You say, well, men don't love. Oh, baloney. You love because you love to be loved. You don't have to go up and kiss somebody on the cheek. You just shake your hand and say, hey, yeah, can I buy you lunch? Or, no, that's good. I can pick it up. Don't tell me you can't be a lover of God and a lover of God's people. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning. Hallelujah. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Stand with me. Stand with me. I want to thank you for listening today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more thing. Oh, gosh. I pray he gives you a song in the night. He'll give you a song in the night. When you leave here, lift your head. If you can't, say, Father, lift up my head. Lift up your hands. And just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you for what you've already done. You're the lifter of my head. And then begin to thank him for what he's done. I praise you, Lord. As you're driving, I give you glory, Lord.
Jesus, you're my healer, Lord. In the middle of the night, he'll give you a song. Weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Want to know the truth? Some of you are, it's 2 a.m., it's 3 a.m., it's 4 a.m., and all you see is the dark. But I have news for you. God said, weeping lasts for the night, but joy comes at 12:01 a.m. So what you need to understand is the morning's already been purchased. The morning is already here. When you're alone at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, so to speak, and it's dark all around you in your life, you just need to thank him because morning is here. The sun is shining. S-U-N-S-O-N. The sun is shining. And victory is yours. Now, Lord, as they go, let them remember these things. When trouble comes, Lord, we're realistic in our faith. And we know trouble cometh. But God destroys the trouble. We praise you for it. We're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And everybody said amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.